Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, football is just days away, and we are back. Ethan, Weiss, and Nick with you once again for the annual Giants season preview. Game by game, the entire schedule, player props, team props, random NFL discussions. I'm sure we'll get into some arguments. I'm sure we'll go off on some tangents. I do want to take a second to brag about my baller fantasy team, but I'll save that until the end so that you guys don't have to suffer. Let's take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Football. Football's back. If you're listening today, Thursday, we have Chiefs Lions to look forward to this evening. Giants Sunday night football against the Cowboys, and then capping it off with the Jets losing to the Bills on Monday night football. All right. How is everyone?
It's a great lineup. Great lineup of primetime games week one.
Really even is. The, really is.
Even that 4 o'clock window, sneaky good games in there too.
Packers. Oh my God, dude. Chargers, yeah. Dolphins is going to have my full attention.
Yep.
That's going to be a great game. But yeah, I feel like it is, I feel like we typically bitch about the opening game for the Giants in terms of who they're playing. The NFL typically does a good job the first few weeks, especially prime time. It's really when you get later into the season where you're like, really, we got Taylor Heineke versus Colt McCoy on Thursday night football for what seems to be the third week in a row. So enjoy it for now, because as injuries pile up and seasons deteriorate, the prime time is not going to be as good as this. All right. Well, so
nowadays there's a whole bunch of streaming shit. I just had to explain to my dad how to get to Sunday Ticket on the smart TV. And he's like, we got a game on Peacock. What channel is Peacock? I'm like, well, it's an app too.
So we're starting the tangents early. All right. Here's
Peacock, Prime Video.
No. You don't ESPN. Need any of that shit. You know what you need? You need fucking cable. Yes. I do not understand why everyone's cutting the cord. I'm not a cord cutter. I'm a plug pusher. Give me the cable. Give me the cable boxes. And you know what? If you don't have ESPN right now, that's your fault, because you have signed up with Spectrum, which is a dog shit provider. You need to either have Fios, and if you don't have Fios available where you live, move to where you can get Fios. Because I swear to God, like when I first moved in on my own, I was living in Brooklyn. I had Fios in the building. I got Fios. Then I moved to the Upper East Side, and my building did not have Fios, and I had to go to Spectrum. And after that experience, I said, never again. And every place that I lived after that, I made sure I had Fios, because the internet is unbelievable. And the TV and the cable, you never have issues. You never got the battles of who's paying who, and I'm going to lose ESPN. I'm going to lose that. No, I get every primetime game. I don't need to use these Fakakta apps. I don't need to do this, that, or the other thing. I think the only primetime games that you need to stream are the Amazon Prime games. Right? Yeah, everyone's got Amazon Prime, so it's not a big deal, and it's very easy to navigate. And literally everyone in America has Amazon Prime. I don't want to hear it.
I'm getting ready to agree with you. I have
Verizon. Okay, but let me finish. Okay? Yes. I've lost my train of thought. So listen, get cable, get Fios. You never have to worry about any of this streaming bullshit except for Amazon Prime. And everyone's got Amazon Prime. Everyone in America has Amazon Prime.
No, I'm talking about the Sunday Ticket. You got to have YouTube TV or YouTube. That's what I was setting up.
What do you need Sunday Ticket
for? You're not in the Giants market, so that makes sense. Yeah.
Thank you, Nick. Okay. Thank you.
Got it.
Yes.
All right.
Some of us. Last place you'll see me is New Jersey, New York area. But listen, I had to set all that stuff up. And then I realized Peacock, there's a couple of games on there. And then obviously the Thursday Night Football thing. It's still some extra work you got to do, even though I'm a big cable guy. I do love Verizon Fios. I actually did have a discussion of cutting Verizon, but we're just not there yet. We're not there yet.
You know what? I'll never be there.
Yeah, just not there. I'm actually a psycho. I have YouTube TV and Verizon Fios.
Yeah, that is crazy. That is actually crazy. No, Fios, don't stream. Prime, fine. That's it. Never have issues.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
NFL Red Zone. I you know, my wife, like, she makes fun of me. Like, every single Sunday, like, it's become a shtick in our house where I don't even know what channel NFL Red Zone is, because I always just use the voice control on the remote. And she'll just, like, grab the remote from me at, like, 12:50. I go, NFL Red Zone? I'm like, okay, got it. So
the thing that I love most about cable is I don't have to switch through 15 different apps and log in.
Yes, correct. Exactly.
QR codes.
And there's no delay.
Yes. I will give credit to YouTube TV. The layout is a lot easier to hop around different channels.
Never used YouTube TV.
It's the closest you'll get to cable in terms of layout, changing channels, user-friendly.
I am the GOP of cable and streaming. I do not want change.
I'm with you. I don't like to do like these 15 different apps. Like, I'm never going to be the guy that has Paramount Plus, Peacock, and like, you know, like Fox. Like, I'm not going to do that. But YouTube TV does sort of create that bridge between people that are still deciding whether to cut the cord or not. And then Sunday Ticket.
Whatever.
It's nice. We'll see. We'll see. But anyways, Giants. Oh, my goodness. I am so excited. I haven't been this excited about a Giants season since 2017. But 2017, I was excited. I wasn't confident because I didn't think we did a good enough job fixing the roster at the time. I think given what we saw in year one, going into year two of coaching, being able to retain everybody, that's a huge plus. And then the other thing is they set out a goal to get speed, versatility, guys that are dynamic, and they did it on both sides of the football, offensively and defensively. They got better. Like, that is a factual statement you can make about the Giants. And we'll talk about key areas and ceiling and all that. But just overall, this is a much better football team. And given how the NFC, I think, is a lot more open than people think, let's play ball, man. Let's play ball.
No, I mean, the only thing I would disagree with that you just said is that's that, you know, some people don't think I don't think I've seen anyone say that the NFC is like division. It's very wide open.
No. Well, they say it's very top heavy. If you look at people, like, they're not giving.
Well, sure, but there's what, two top heavy teams.
They put Dallas there, but then, like, I think Seattle, I think New Orleans, I think I'll throw Detroit in there too. Like, I think these teams they're not giving them the chance, and the Giants too, of like actually representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. I think that I can totally see something like that happening. So that's what I mean by, you know, it's more open than people are actually saying.
Yeah. So let's do this before we jump into our annual tradition of the game by game breakdowns. We can all just give our generalized thoughts on this season, the expectations. So I genuinely, and I feel like we say this every year, I don't know whether or not people believe us, like, I have not gone game by game and like predetermined what I think their record's going to be. Like, we are going to do this live, and these are just going to be like my live reactions. There's going to be hopefully very little editing that needs to take place. and like, this is going to be like one by one, you know, we'll live reaction.
You ready?
No, I'm not done. I truly believe that the Giants, of all the teams in the NFL this year, have quite possibly the largest range of plausible outcomes. Like, if at the end of the season you told me,
did you say NFL or just NFC?
I meant NFL. I don't know if I said NFC. In the entire league, I think that they have the largest range of potential outcomes. One of, I'm sure there are other teams you can make the argument for. If you were to fast forward, or if our super producer Nick went into the future and came back and said, guys, I just lived out the entire 2023 NFL season. The Giants finished with 6 wins. I'd shrug my shoulders. I'd say, well, that's disappointing. You know, I'm not totally surprised. Can you tell me if guys at least got better, if things are looking up for next year, whatever. If Nick came back from the future and said the New York Giants finished with 11 wins, they won a playoff game, they maybe won two playoff games, were at least competitive in their second playoff game, I'd shrug my shoulders and say, I buy it. That's awesome. Very, very happy. They looks like they took the next step. I'd be more confident in assuming that some of these guys took the next step.
Can I ask you a quick question about that statement you just made? What makes you have those, that train of thought?
I'm about to get into those.
Because I really want to know.
Okay. So if you look just top to bottom at the Giants right now, you look at some of the positives. All right. They have a general manager who I am very confident in saying is probably a top three GM in the NFL right now. What he was given to start with, what he has already turned this roster into, and what we know he's capable of. Like, I'm very, very confident that the Giants have probably a top three general manager in the entire NFL. They also have a stellar assistant general manager who I'm sure within the next 2 to 3 seasons is going to be general manager of his own team. You go a little bit lower. Brian Daboll, again, where would you rank him? And of course, this is the Giants podcast. We're biased, but you know, we hated on Joe Judge. I wasn't afraid to say he was the worst head coach in the league. I believe Brian Daboll is probably a top three head coach in the NFL.
Wow.
I would go even a little bit farther. His offensive coordinator, Mike Kafka, I think is going to be I am very confident that after this season, Mike Kafka is going to be the first head coach hired on another team. And then, of course, you've got Wink on the defensive side of the ball. He's great. You know what you can expect. Very creative, pressure heavy. All that to be said, this team is being run by adults and very, very competent adults. Some of the most competent adults in the NFL. Amazing. Two thumbs up. That gives you a boatload of confidence that even if maybe things don't go all the way to the Giants this year, at least moving forward, you know who's in charge and you can be confident that next year is going to be really great and the years after are going to be great as well. Then you go from management to the roster. Look at the roster. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. Well, what's going right for them? Daniel Jones had a really strong end to the season. He got paid like a top 10 quarterback. He's in year two of Daboll and Kafka's system. I think everyone here is expecting him to put up numbers and be not even just a top 10 quarterback, dare I say top 8 quarterback, something in that range. I don't think anyone here would be surprised if that was the outcome after this season. I think everyone here and a majority of Giants fans are confident in the quarterback. The running back, he's on a contract year. All right. We know what he's capable of, given that it's a contract year, extra motivation. Great. The wide receiving group improved. Can't complain about that. Darren Waller is coming in here. He might put up 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. Giants haven't had a tight end with his offensive abilities since Shockey. Mm-hmm. So, right. These are all great things. Andrew Thomas, top 3 left tackle in the league. Amazing. Now, some of the things that could derail the season. The Giants don't have offensive line depth. Injuries happen. Right tackle, Evan Neal, you hope that he's improved. Still a big question mark. The guard positions, you know, plug and play veterans and some guys that were drafted over the last couple of years. Again, we don't know what the improvement jump is going to be, if at all. We really like John Michael Schmitz. He's a rookie, and center is not the easiest position to play. Does he have great chemistry with Dan Jones? Listen, things look great in the preseason, but he's a rookie. That's like 4 question marks alone on the offensive line.
Facing some real defensive linemen in his division too.
Yeah, this is a really tough division for pass rushers, top to bottom, Giants included. So then you go to the defensive side of the ball. What's great? Hopefully, if they stay healthy, they have a dominant defensive line. Kayvon, Dex, Leo, I say begrudgingly. If Aziz is healthy, that's a pretty good pass rushing tandem. You're expecting all these guys to improve this year. Linebackers got better, traded for Isaiah Simmons, got Bobby O. That's great. All good things. Again, with Wink, the creativity is there. They're going to be, you know, maybe a little blitz happy. It's going to be a fun defense to watch. Adoree Jackson, that's great. And then you get to the negatives. Oh, I forgot the X-Man as well. That's a positive. But then you have a first and a sixth round rookie starting at quarterback from week one. That's scary, especially in a division that has at least one offensive juggernaut in the Eagles. The Cowboys, very underrated, just added Brandon Cooks, who's just like Mike Evans, for some reason is getting disrespected again because of the offensive system, the quarterback, whatever it is, basically a lock for 1,000 yards every year. Cowboys offense should probably be pretty good. Not really as worried about the Commanders, but still going into the season with two rookies at a position that's notoriously hard for young players is a scary thought. So again, this is why I believe the range of outcomes to be so large. Listen, if everything goes right and some of the concerns I laid out aren't actually concerns, Evan Neal takes the next step. John Michael Schmitz is a stud from day one. Trey Hawkins looks like a first-round pick instead of a sixth-round pick. Like, this team could win 10, 11 games, go to the playoffs, really, like, make some noise this year. Like, I'm sure, you know, that's probably more so where Weiss is leaning. But if things go bad, if they suffer a couple injuries, which the Giants have been known to do, especially since the time we've done this podcast, we know how bad some of the depth is on this team, then things could derail pretty quickly. And then you do have those outcomes that are possible of 6-7 wins. And you're just like, you know what? Okay, it was never really about this year. It's about next year. And you sort of start to spin it a little more like that. But I really believe that the range of outcomes is so great. It's what makes this upcoming season so excited, because we truly have no idea what to expect from this team. I've been going on and on for a while, but I wanted to get that out there before we went game by game. Because again, we're doing it live, and I will read this because I do think this is a positive for the New York Giants. The current starting quarterback of every opponent, weeks 1 through 17. Weeks 1 and 10, Dak. Okay. Good, not great, not amazing. Week 2, Dobbs.
He's being the Giants every year. Except
understood, but again, this is the best Giants team in the last 5 years. So, whatever. Week 2, Dobbs. Week 3, Purdy. Week 4, Geno. Week 5, Tua. Week 6, Josh Allen. Great. Week 7 or 11, Sam Howell, give me a break. Week 8, Aaron Rodgers, we'll see. Week 9, Jimmy G. Week 12, Mac Jones. Week 14, Jordan Love, we don't know. Week 15, Derek Carr. Weeks 16 and 18, Jalen Hurts, all right. Week 17, Stafford. Okay.
And that's if Stafford's still playing at that point.
And that's if he's still alive. So, yeah. Listen, that's the benefit.
He's probably still getting to know his young teammates at that time.
Yeah, yeah. Who are people to? I don't know if you saw his press conference. That was a bit embarrassing for him. But the point stands. The NFC is like a tenth of as tough as the AFC is. That works in the Giants' favor, especially when you're talking about the quarterback position as it pertains to their schedule.
The biggest thing for me in regards to the Giants, and speaking to Ethan's point about range of outcomes, is how they do in these division games. That will likely be the swing between 7 and 11, because if you just split with Dallas, you split with Washington, that's two wins you got to have. You have to at least split with those two, because you're probably not beating the Eagles once. So if you split with Dallas...
They're sweeping Washington.
They need to. If they want to win 11 plus games...
I get it. Divisional games get wonky. The amount of respect I see for Sam Howell on Twitter sickens me. This guy's done nothing. Ron Rivera's a bum.
Yeah.
Terry McLaurin's already hurt. What? Oh, I'm supposed to be scared of Sam Howell throwing to Jahan Dotson? Give me a break. Come on. He's a great receiver. Not losing sleep over Jahan Dotson and Sam Howell. I'm sorry.
that's where fantasy brain intersecting with outcomes is actually a problem. Because to Ethan's point, Sam Howell's proven nothing. He was, what, a fifth round pick? He looked pretty rough in the games he did play last year. Washington's going to run the ball a ton, minimize his responsibilities. Their pass rush should be good because Chase Young is actually going to play football this year. They've got two really good receivers, and that's if McLaurin's turf toe doesn't bother him all year. But you got to beat Dallas at least once, and you realistically should sweep Washington. And then you're at 9-10 wins right there with those, because you need to beat Arizona. You should beat New England. And I'm jumping ahead here, going through looking at the schedule. But just in my head, talking to the range of outcomes, the schedule isn't impossible. They do have a lot of primetime games early, which might be an issue in terms of start times and days off and 6 days versus 5 days, but they're well coached. They're never going to be underprepared for a situation, and that's why you feel there's a floor here. They won't, if they only win like 4 games, something cataclysmic happens, because they are going to be within a field goal, 4.5 points almost every single week this season. That they're so well coached, and it's just a matter of no cataclysmic injuries, and maybe you get one of these guys who hasn't proven anything yet to pop off, and then you're looking at that 11-12 win range of outcomes.
The thing with this Giants team is pretty simple. Every team has to avoid injuries, right? That's every team has that same, you know, how can we be good? Well, you avoid injuries. This team's ceiling and this team's floor aligns with Evan Neal's development. If Evan Neal takes a step forward, similar to what we saw with Andrew Thomas, this team, then the conversation is different. If you ask
me. I would even argue, like, the leap that Andrew Thomas took was monstrous.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Evan Neal doesn't even need to take that
half of what Andrew Thomas was.
Yeah, if he takes half as big a step, then this team is cruising. Well,
you're asking, if you ask me, how do the Giants close the gap with the Eagles and the Cowboys? Well, it starts with Evan Neal's development.
Agreed. I'm just saying, last year he was a liability, and if he just goes from liability to simply good,
dependable,
that's a pretty significant step forward.
Andrew Thomas went from to the top five.
Andrew Thomas, the second half of the year was a lot.
Sure, fine.
If Evan, it all depends on what step Evan Neal takes. If he takes a step forward, or a giant step forward, I get this question asked a lot, right? How do the Giants, can the Giants compete? And I always say, does Evan Neal become good? Because if Evan Neal turns into has a good season, not even great, a good season, an average season, this Giant team can win 11 games. It's all dependent on Evan Neal's development, and that's why I absolutely love this week one matchup. But we can talk about the defense and the pass rush and the young secondary, and we can talk about whether or not, these receivers can, be better than what they were last year. But to me, everything starts and ends with Evan Neal's development. We know – at this point, I think every logical person knows that Daniel Jones is a quarterback that is dependent on his environment. He's not a quarterback that is the environment. Does that make sense?
Yep.
He's more dependent on what's around him. And if the environment is good, starting with the offensive line, then Daniel Jones will excel. He'll put up those numbers. He'll look like that $40 million quarterback. But if you're, the formula can't be the same than when it was a year ago, because the schedule is a lot harder. That's why it's so important that Evan Neal takes a step forward. And he looked good in camp. I mean, he played in the preseason, but, the test is going to be week one. That I always say, it didn't matter what he did during camp. Like, if he was, to me, I always told people that week one game, that's where we'll know right off the bat if Evan Neal has improved or not. I didn't put much stock into, the training camp reps and the preseason stuff. I just didn't. It was all about week one and how, if he could redeem himself from what happened last year.
Sure. And to your point, the Daniel Jones environment point, I mean, I think after last year, we can all acknowledge that a huge part of that environment is the coaching.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, going from Joe Judge to
Brian Daboll is like going from a bicycle with no wheels to a Lambo. Like, that is just such a huge difference. Obviously, Evan Neal stepping up. But even with Evan Neal's performance last year, and obviously, like you said, the schedule was easier, the expectations were lower, Daniel Jones was succeeding, especially late in the season, throwing to milkmen and mailmen.
That's like, why I say the ceiling is a lot higher. That's my that's been my whole point with the quarterback, is that so much was thrown at him. And here's one thing that I think...
Well, I'm agreeing with you, but...
Here's one thing that I think doesn't get talked about. You ready? We all agree that those 2 years with Joe Judge and Jason Garrett, like, it can kill a quarterback's career.
Right.
Like 100%. That terrible coaching. For him to get out of that, and yeah, you know, Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka did a great job, but for him to get out of that, you know, environment that he was in, and to sort of reconfigure his career, if you want to call it that.
It's a SpongeBob effect.
It makes you wonder, like, yo, like, what else can he do? Because that's
about everything except fine dining and breathing. Daniel Jones is forget everything except binge drinking and football. And the guy's got such a short-term memory that he can just forget all that bad stuff. And that's a testament to him. You said it. Dude, those first 2 years, I mean, how many quarterbacks have we seen come into the league with hype and they wind up in just a bad situation, awful coaching, and they don't recover? People are like, oh, change the scenery. And it's just, no, they're just done. No. Like,
change of scenery doesn't work with quarterbacks. Like, Baker Mayfield.
It worked with Ryan Tannehill.
Well,
happens on occasion.
Yeah.
I don't think what Ryan Tannehill did is the same as what Daniel Jones did. I think Tannehill...
I'm not saying that it was, but he went from being with Adam Gase in Miami and being a total bust to
Arthur Smith in Tennessee. And
now he's 36 years old and still putting up decent numbers, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not a perfect comparison, but it does happen. We agree. It's just not, it's not a frequent occurrence.
Yes. Got to give him credit for that. That's why
100%. But anyway, the point that I was trying to make was to elaborate on yours, which was, the environment was better, and the environment's even better this year. And now, instead of throwing to Richie James, he's got Darren Waller. He's got Sterling Shepard healthy. He's got, hopefully, Wandale healthy, because we saw what they did together in the few games where he was active and he was, you know, not tearing his ACL.
That's remarkable that he's back, by the way. I thought for sure this was a wash year for Wandale Robinson.
Dude, it's just as the years go on. And
medicine's crazy.
Medicine's crazy, man. Dude, Javonte Williams tore his ACL, MCL, PCL, I think dislocated his knee, and 10 months later was taking all the snaps with the first team in a preseason game. Like, that's unheard of. So it's not the same for everyone, but I feel like we're seeing more and more athletes recover quickly. Like, I was never particularly worried about whether or not Wandale would be ready. Same reason I wasn't worried about Brees, even though it happened a little bit earlier. Javonte sort of surprised me, but yeah, we're seeing some crazy recoveries. But Paris Campbell, now drafting Jalin Hyatt, like, the receiver ceiling, I feel like, is very high as a group. So that's also a plus.
They've got room. That's the biggest thing. Last year, there weren't a lot of guys with upside on the team. There were a lot of guys who were just guys, and that was fine.
Now pretty much everyone on this team is upside.
They got options. They can.
Yeah.
Yes.
You want to throw the ball deep? You put, you know, Paris Campbell in the game a year ago. Who would they,
like,
put?
Like, Jalin Hyatt is going to have multiple games this year. Jalen with Hatch, like, I mean, yeah, with like the Randy Moss stat line: 3 receptions, 162 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Like, he's gonna. I really do believe he's gonna do that like 2 or 3 times.
Last year, if I would ask you, like, hey, they want to throw the ball deep, like, who would they go to?
Right, no one.
I mean, like, Sterling Shepard, Slayton. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Now they have other guys. Like, Darius Slayton's fast. He's probably like the third fastest guy on this team now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to put into perspective. So,
right.
Yeah. The receiving room is definitely, it's a more versatile, more fast, more explosive room. And that's, given the circumstances, I think that's what you have to be pleased with what they did.
All right. Should we tackle the schedule?
Let's do it. Game by game. Week one, Dallas Cowboys. I usually hate this matchup, but I love it. This is what I want. I want Dallas. I want week one. I want a home game. The Giants are going to win this game. I guarantee it.
Nick, are you keeping track of each
person? I have a spreadsheet open.
Okay, yeah. Great.
The Giants are going to win this game. This is a capital W, okay? Week two, Arizona. They're going to win that game too. Arizona, come on.
What are we doing? What? Am I going to get to go? Is Nick going to get to go?
Oh, we're going to go one by one?
That's how we did it last year.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, so I got week one, Dallas win.
Okay, I also have a win.
Wow.
I think they're going to win as well. I'm going to be there. They better fucking
win. They're going to win. They're going to win. I'm very confident. All right, week two, Arizona. They're going to win.
They're going to win.
Yeah. They're going to win, yeah. Week three, 49ers, Thursday Night Football. I think this is L. Yeah.
Cross country too. That's tough.
I think they'll stay on the West Coast after the Arizona game.
Yeah, you're right.
And Ethan, do you think they're going to win that game?
Oh, man.
Holy shit, this guy's confident. He's thinking about this one.
I think it's a win. Okay. I think it's a win.
I love it.
And you were making fun of Weiss before.
Yeah. Jeez. All right.
I think they're going to win. You know why? Do you know why?
Why?
Because Brock Purdy sucks. Listen, I ranted about this an episode or two ago.
Yeah.
Okay. How the 49ers are so well managed and so well coached, and yet have not been able to figure out the most important position in not only football, but in professional sports.
In American history?
Listen, there is tape on Purdy. I understand that they have a lethal run game, but you know what? The Giants now have a really, really good front four and just got significant improvement in their linebacking group.
They're not beating the 49ers. Come on. 49ers
are going I think they're beating the 49ers.
Okay.
Week four, Seattle, Monday night. This is a win in my book.
Yep.
Agreed.
So Ethan has them starting 4-0.
You act like that. So you're 3-1.
Week five, Miami. That's an L.
I think that's an L as well.
Yeah. Week six, Buffalo. I got an L.
That's an L.
Yeah. Week seven, the Commanders. Come on.
Win.
Come on. That's a win. Week eight is the Jets. There's a bye week in there, but I don't know when that bye week is. But is
the bye week is after New England.
Okay, so week eight, the Jets. I got this as an L. Just don't think the Giants are at that level yet. Week nine, the Vegas Raiders. I actually might go to that game in Las Vegas, but that's
I have the Jets game as a win.
That Raiders game is going to be a win. And I think Josh McDaniels is going to be the first coach fired this year.
Nah. They have no money to pay a coach not to coach. That's the thing you got to consider.
The Raiders are going to be an abomination. And I thought, and I've had this thought even before the Chandler Jones stuff that happened this week. It's going to be a disaster. I think Davante Adams is going to request a trade at some point this season. I think the Raiders are destined for a top five pick. And I think Josh McDaniels, it's going to get so bad that they have to get rid of Josh McDaniels. Of course he thinks they're going to win.
They're going to win that game.
He thinks they're going 18-0. I mean.
I have, how many losses do I have? I got two.
Two. You have Buffalo and Miami.
Yeah.
Week 10, the Cowboys. I got an L here. I think they split with the Cowboys. I'm not going to get greedy. Week 11, the Commanders. I do think they sweep the Commanders. Although.
Me too.
I'm a little bit more worried about the Commanders than you are, Ethan. But anyways, week 12, the Patriots. This is a win.
Yep,
I think so too.
This is a revenge game for Brian Daboll. Remember the text message? The wrong Brian.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so then it's the bye after week 12, right? Yep. All right, so then they got the bye week, come back with the Packers. That's a win. That's a home game,
too. I think they lose that game.
Really? Wow.
I think the Packers are going to surprise a lot of people.
I think Green Bay will be decent. I don't know if they'll be good, but they'll win.
Their defense is improved. I don't know if Jordan Love's the real deal, but he is at least capable. Still have a really solid running game, solid coaching. I fucking love Christian Watson if he's ever going to be healthy.
Is it solid coaching, though? Is Matt LaFleur a solid coach?
I think so.
They're well schemed. They're well schemed. Yeah, dude.
I think they are.
I think they beat Green Bay.
People forget how bad Rodgers was last year.
He was playing with a broken thumb all year. Yeah. That was probably, yeah.
The Saints, I actually am a lot higher on the Saints. I think the Giants lose this game.
I think so too. It's in the dome.
Week 15 is at Philly. I think they lose that game as well. That's at Philly, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was 16. Week 17 is the Rams. Is that a home game or is that a road game?
Yes. That's here, yeah.
That's a win. Sean McVay's probably
on his way out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then week 18, the Philly game. I think they're going to win that game, split with Philly. Might be a win and end game for the Giants, depending on how things. Right.
And the Eagles may be resting starters, depends on
maybe
how R-worded Sirianni wants to get. I'll say win.
And I think I think I got them at 10-7 if I did my math correctly, right?
You have them at 10-7 indeed.
Yes.
And what do I have them at?
You have them at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 11-6.
There you go.
I truly believe the Giants are going to go back to the playoffs. I think they're going to be the number 7 seed.
You get a good price on them to be a wild card team when we get to the props. Yep. There's some interesting ones.
I think they're going to be either that 6 or 7 seed, and they'll be back in the playoffs. And I can tell you who else I think is going to be in the playoffs. But I do think there's a good chance that the Giants are back in the divisional round again. This is a good team, and I think people are really, really sleeping on them. I think it's amazing how a team like Detroit, you know, quarterback by Jared Goff, is all of a sudden.
Detroit has more talent, though. You got to put some respect.
When you talk about they have more talent, they also have some glaring weaknesses too, that are more glaring than the Giants.
I mean, like their defensive back situation is comparable to the Giants.
Their entire defense is comparable. It was a bad.
They've got two good linebackers. They've got one. They've got Hutchinson, who's decent. The one safety is not bad, but their corners are pretty bad. That's comparable to the Giants. But everybody sees this speaks to what we were talking about before with Sam Howell. Everybody in their brain is thinking about, oh, the Lions have a bunch of fantasy relevant players. That's not a bad team, which is where a lot of people form their ideas about where a lot of these teams are actually at.
They have probably a top 5 offensive line.
They have a great OC who's going to be a
great great coordinator, really good run game. Like offensively, like I think that they're like 49ers, but have a better quarterback and better receiving weapons.
Are they that much better than what they were a year ago?
I think that's a good question. I think they're what they were a year ago, but it's a little bit more confidence. Gibbs for Swift is, you know, Gibbs is probably a little better than DeAndre Swift. They drafted an off-ball linebacker, which the impact of that is probably negligible considering they already have Malcolm Rodriguez, who's a pretty good inside linebacker. But the Lions are a little more talented than they were last year. Their OC gets another year with Goff. The Lions will be a decent team. I think they win the North, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl team.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they make the playoffs, but I don't think they win the division. I think Minnesota wins that division.
I mean, that's not like an outlandish prediction by any means. No. They went 13-3 last year.
Yeah. Green Bay could win that division too with defense and ugliness. I could see a world where Green Bay wins that division with 10 wins.
They could be the Steelers of the NFC North.
Can I give you my can I give you my playoff teams?
You may.
Yeah, sure.
I think the San Francisco 49ers are ready to break through. I know, Ethan, you're not high on them, and I know I've really thought about this a lot. Their roster is just insane, and they got Bosa locked up now. You look at their roster; they got like the highest paid linebacker, highest paid pass rusher, highest paid this. And you look at it, like those guys are like legitimate players at their position.
Didn't they lose D'Amico Ryans to?
Yes, he's the Texas coach now.
Yeah. But that talent I think is still there. And Purdy to me, if he's just a game manager, which is what Jimmy G was, this team is going to be all right.
He's worse than Jimmy G.
I don't agree with that, but
by like probably a significant margin.
Oh my god, the 49ers are going to be the number one seed.
You guys clearly did not watch a lot of Iowa State.
Oh, I watched a lot of Iowa State. I remember when he single-handedly lost them the Big 12 title game in the COVID year. I mean, he threw five interceptions.
I just watched last year and him coming in and looking comfortable.
No, I agree with you, Weiss. He was decent last year. He did what they asked him to do. Kyle only wants a quarterback who can ride the bike.
Exactly. That's what Jimmy G was. Just a guy that can just, hey, don't
shit up. You know what? It didn't get them over the hump. Why does anyone think
It got them to the Super Bowl.
It got them a drive of winning the Super Bowl, but Mahomes, the Terminator, was on the other side.
One's debating that the roster is talented and they have a great coach. They don't have a quarterback, and Brock Purdy is absolutely going to be worse than he was last year.
Darnold start this year, Ethan?
What's that?
No, how many games does Sam Darnold start this year then if Brock Purdy's that bad?
Zero.
Yeah, he's not starting because Brock Purdy's bad. He's starting when Brock Purdy gets Tommy John.
If there's another dirty hit on Brock Purdy's elbow like there was in the NFC Championship game, then yeah, we'll see Sam Darnold. But anyways, 49ers are one.
Sam Darnold's got more upside than Purdy.
Really? God.
Number two is the Philadelphia Eagles. I've gone back and forth on this, but I think Philly wins the division. Again, super talented roster. I don't want to be a hypocrite and say one talented roster with a game manager quarterback can be successful, but another one can't. So that's why I think Philly is going to be number two.
I don't think we didn't notice what you just did there.
Number three, and I know this is going to surprise a lot of people, it is the New Orleans Saints.
That's not a huge surprise. The division fucking stinks. They got a huge quarterback upgrade.
Five games against some really trash-ass teams that could be easy wins. Number four, I got the Vikings repeating, man. I like Kevin O'Connell, and I like Brian Flores. And then five, Dallas. I think Dallas legitimately can go to the Super Bowl, guys. I think if Mike McCarthy does not put his head in his ass.
Who's their offensive coordinator this year?
Mike McCarthy.
Okay, so yeah. I think you just contradicted yourself there.
Oh, I just said if he doesn't put his head in his ass, I think in
the well, that's where his head lives. So
I know. Correct. And then six, I have the Detroit Lions. And then seven, I have the Giants. I actually have Seattle missing the playoffs.
I don't think that's such a crazy
prediction. That Seattle's got some tough – that division is still kind of tough. I know Arizona's going to think, but I think – like, it wouldn't surprise me if the Rams are, like, a 500 team. You know, like, they win some games that surprise people. But that's my playoffs, and I think the 49ers represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. It's time for Kyle Shanahan to break through. And the AFC – can I do the AFC real quick for you guys?
Go ahead.
All right, I got the Cincinnati Bengals as the number one seed in the AFC.
It's going to be tough because the Ravens are winning that division.
I think so
they're,
too.
They're not, but they have a, they are, they have they're a good team. They're a good team. I got the Chiefs at two. Something's weird about the Chiefs with me, man. I know I shouldn't be going against Patrick Mahomes, and I promised myself I wouldn't do that anymore. But Chris Jones' situation, Kelsey's injury, just seems like, you know, they didn't really improve the receiving room, but that's two. The New York Jets are going to be the number three seed. They're going to win the AFC East.
They're not.
I'm telling you that right now. They're not going to get far in the playoffs, but they are going to win the AFC East. Number four, the Jacksonville Jaguars, a dark horse Super Bowl team. They're going to run away with this division. You can keep your Mike Vrabel stuff to yourself. They have the better quarterback. They have a good coach. They have a good roster. Calvin Ridley, you ready for this? Calvin Ridley, sleeper for Offensive Player of the Year. I think at the end of the year, he could be leading the league in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns.
Your mouth to my fantasy team's ears.
Number five, the Baltimore Ravens, another dark horse Super Bowl team. Lamar Jackson, if you guys go back and look, when he's been healthy, this team is literally on the cusp of that Super Bowl thing. Like, they are right there. Instead, when he gets hurt, it all implodes. But I think Ravens,
he's healthy. Dobbins is healthy. Monken's the offensive coordinator. They got Zay Jones now. They have Odell, Mark Andrews,
Rashad Bateman, and then the defense. Team's winning the division. Yeah.
Number six, I have the Buffalo Bills. You ready for a wild card game between the Bills and the Jets? That's going to be fun, right?
That'd be electric.
Yes, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in my world. There's six.
Just flipped, but that's fine.
How did it flip? Oh, you want to? Okay, I got you. And then number seven, I'm torn.
Chargers, Pittsburgh.
I got
Herbert's going to put Herbert's going to have the most passing yards and most passing touchdowns this year.
Steelers. The reason why I'm going to put the Steelers there is because I think the Steelers have a much better defense. Yes. And I think the Chargers coach is Brandon Staley.
Yeah.
Just unbelievably bad coach. And I just trust Tomlin a little more. I think Kenny Pickett and but Justin Herbert, it's tough. I keep going back and forth between the Steelers and the Chargers for that last spot. But that's how I think this thing plays out, fellas. And I think that in the end of the day, it'll be the Cincinnati Bengals and the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. And Joe Burrow is going to win his Lombardi and hopefully becomes the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, because you have to come a real fat check after this. But I think Joe Burrow MVP, I think their offensive line has improved. Obviously, the receiving group, obviously he's there. The defense is still good. Yeah, I got the Bengals winning the Super Bowl.
I think Herbert wins that MVP.
Rattle off your division winners and your playoff teams, Ethan.
I don't have the list. I'm not doing this. Let's okay. Do props.
Okay, but all right. So toggling over.
It
so
doesn't matter because I already told you what's going to happen. It doesn't matter what Ethan says.
Well, that's fine. I don't need to run through because I already told you every place that you're wrong. So,
so I've got the Giants are 48-1 to win the Super Bowl. 22-1 to win the NFC. To make the playoffs, they are +172. Their over under total is 7.5. Their division odds, 7-1 to win the division.
Explain something to me. They're projected to have 7.5 wins, but yes. For them to make the playoffs, it's +172. I thought it would be at least like +250.
You would think, yeah, that it's an inefficiency. Right. That definitely jumps out.
If you're betting the Giants to make the playoffs, I agree that line stinks. I would maybe parlay it with another team to also make the playoffs. Yeah.
That's probably a safe bet. All right. So player props. There's actually a lot listed because, you know, books know Giant fans, a lot of Giant fans. So
Vegas Daniel has made Jones. A lot of money on Giants fans the last 5 years.
Correct. So Daniel Jones's passing yards for the season. The number is 3,200. 3,200.5.
I'm going to go over.
Over.
I think so, too. He threw for, what, 3,000 last year, and they're going to throw the ball a lot more this year. Yep, I think that's right. Easy. Yep. Over 30.5 touchdowns, you can do +750. Or
passing touchdowns or total touchdowns?
Passing.
Under. I don't think you said 30, right? 30.5. Yeah. Under.
Okay. And then if you're feeling frisky, they've got 40.5 touchdowns for 16-1. And then, so 4,000 yards, you can get +380. And then rushing yards, 550.5.
I'm going to take the over on the rushing yards. I think he gets to 600. He got to 700 last year.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see him run the ball a lot. That RPO is going to be big. And then he's not touching 4,000 yards. I think he gets to like 30s. Actually, he might flirt with it, but he doesn't get over 4,000.
Okay, Ethan.
Sorry,
no, you're
my Thomas bottle. What were the lines?
So we've got passing yards 3,200.
I said over.
30.5 touchdowns +750. 40.5 touchdowns 16-1, and then passing yards over 4,000.
What's his actual passing touchdown line?
They didn't have a specific number for him. They only had
over 30.5 is plus what?
750.
How many passing touchdowns did he have last year?
20-something, 22, 23.
22.
Yeah.
I'll take the over on that, yeah.
Yeah, +750 is a good
that's number. Insane value.
And then 550 rushing yards.
Over.
I'll take under because it clashes with my passing bet.
Well, I mean, okay. you have them going 17-1.
So. I have them at one more win than you do.
So he has to do something.
Okay, Saquon. You get Saquon 11-1 to lead the entire league in yards. I don't think you're getting that this year. Rushing touchdowns, 7.5. That I think is doable.
Yes.
That's one touchdown every other game. I think that's a reasonable number.
I think 7. You said 7.5?
Yeah.
I think he gets at least 8. Yeah. It's an angry Saquon Barkley, by the way.
Contract your Saquon.
His contract is a very angry, very determined Saquon Barkley.
Rushing yards, 1,025.5. That's just rushing, not scrimmage.
I'm going to go under. Brian Daboll's going to throw this fucking football, man.
Yeah.
They're gonna throw this ball.
What's his receiving prop?
They didn't have a yards listed for him on receiver. Okay. And then, so we only got a few more because Darren Waller, this number, if he's healthy, he obliterates. They've got him at 650.5. I think over. If he's healthy.
Over. Yeah. Over. What's the line? Over.
-112. It's even.
Over. Over.
Yeah. If he's healthy, he destroys that. Even if he's not healthy, I think he destroys that. He only really has to play like 13 games to get 650 yards. Over. He's going to get a disgusting amount of touches.
I don't think he gets 1,000, but I think he gets like 800, 900.
Over.
Yeah. All right. And then the last prop they had listed, this is the last one they had. You can get Jalin Hyatt to lead all rookies in receiving yards at 30-1. I don't think that happens because he's only going to play it, 10, 15 snaps a game for at least this year.
I'm going to go
out on props.
Jordan Addison is going to lead.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I can see that. Mm-hmm. He's going to have a lot of opportunities because the Vikings can't play any defense and their running game is inefficient. So I could see that happen.
Jefferson's
drawing doubles.
Yeah. You got some defensive props for me? I'm interested to see.
They only have one. Kayvon, 5.25 sacks at even money, -110.
Over. Yeah. I don't think he's going to have an insane year where I don't think he gets double digits, but that's so low.
I got him at 8.5.
I think that's Wink's never had anybody with more than 8 in a season.
Yep.
That's the other point you got of it there. So I think 5.25, I think he can hit that. I mean, he missed, 4 or 5 games last year, and he still had 5? I think 5.25 is reasonable for him. All right, Dallas game. What jumps out to you?
Evan fucking Neal, man. Listen, I want to win this game so bad.
Yep. Parsons, Lawrence, shut him down.
You guys understand, man. Like, seriously, like, it's been too long since we've
beaten. They haven't beat the Cowboys with Dak playing quarterback since 2016. The last time they beat them, Andy Dalton was playing quarterback.
The Andy Dalton bullshit doesn't count. That fucking,
yeah.
I want to beat this Dallas Cowboy team. The Giants are healthy. They're good. They have talent. They're confident. They're at home. The Cowboys are dealing with some sort of injuries, right? Like, all this shit about Dak. Like, is this his last year? Like, they just traded for Trey Lance. Like, Mike McCarthy, we know he can be an idiot. Like, this game is so important to the outlook of this season. Where I hate to call it a must win, but dude, like, the vibes of this team changes immensely if they win this game.
Yep.
100%. I completely agree with you. The one thing I'll say about this game, the reason the Giants can never beat the Cowboys is the Cowboys are always going to put up 28-35, and the Giants haven't consistently been able to do that in a long time. If they're going to win, it's going to be on offense, and that's going to be the driving force of the team this year. It's not going to be like last year where it's going to be special teams and coaching winning them games. If they're going to win 10, 11 games this year with this group, it is going to be because they throw the ball 35, 40 times a game, and they really attack these teams.
Since I can remember playing against the Cowboys, even when you go back to Romo, like after since the downfall of the Giants, like the thing has always been, they've been able to protect their quarterback, and our quarterback, whether it was Eli Manning or Daniel Jones, whoever, was constantly getting hit. Like that, to me, that's the thing that consistently pops out on that screen when we play Dallas, and the pressure leads to turnovers, and that's how Dallas scored a lot of points. But like to me, it's like this is the game for Evan Neal. Like this is it, man. Like. It's week one. I understand it's 18 game season and a lot of shit can change, but man, like everything that happened last year with him in that game, it was in prime time. Like this is the perfect redemption stage for him to like get his revenge. And I, he's a great player, but I just can't fucking stand Micah Parsons.
He's a really good player, man. He's gonna get paid more than Nick Bosa does next year when he becomes a free agent, because the cycle keeps getting repeated. It's great. He's an amazing player. Amazing. That's one thing I'll say about this game that I think is interesting. That's a real opportunity. Is Dallas does bring a lot of heat, but they do it responsibly, where they don't send an extra person and they play a lot of man. And the Giants are actually have guys capable of getting open against man coverage now. They're going to have Darren Waller against those mediocre Dallas linebackers in the middle of the field. That's a real advantage for them. And they're going to have guys who can actually get open in these games, like you were talking about. You think about the game last year on Thanksgiving, where they were in that game for a while, and then Dallas slowly started accumulating, trickling their way up and down the field. It's really cliche, but if the Giants want to win this game, you can't let Dallas put up 31, 35, between 31 and 35. You're going to lose. To win this game, you got to get Dallas in that, in something of a rock fight. It's got to be in the 20s, and you got to find a way to get the ball last, because Dallas has killed them in the fourth quarter of these close games year after year, where the Giants have been in these games, but they've never finished.
One of the big thing is, before I go to you, Ethan, is in terms of pass rush, your pass rush is at your pass rush is at its best when you're not playing from behind. When the other team is playing from behind and they got to throw the ball and they got to drop back, you know, more than, you know, running the ball, that's when your pass rush can get home. But man, guys, when I tell you, I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about the Cowboys. You guys,
I want to see a doctor about that.
Yeah. I'm serious. The other day I woke up in a pool of sweat.
See, I'm like that with the Eagles. The Cowboys, I swear to God, it's never been that serious for me.
Here's the thing. If you want to get to the Eagles, you got to first prove you can beat the Dallas Cowboys.
That's true.
That's my thing.
That's true.
Yep.
And week one, and don't think Dallas can't win the division. Dallas can win the NFC East. I don't think they will, but they can. They have the talent.
If they split with Philly, they can do it.
Yeah. So this game is just – it's everything for the Giants. I know it's week one, but it's everything.
Yeah. If you're looking for my take, I already gave it. I think they win. We're in agreement on the offensive line, but I like the quarterback more. I like the coaching more. It's going to be a tight game, man, but I think the Giants do it. I really do. It's been a while since I've had this type of confidence.
You know, I love you when you're confident.
You do. You love me when I'm negative.
Yeah.
Because when I'm negative, I'm usually right.
Except, I think your 49er take is just awful.
We'll see.
We will see. You tried to suck me into that, but not going to.
That's fine.
49ers Bengals is your Super Bowl, by the way.
We will see. All right, let's wrap it up. Week one. We'll talk to you guys next week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. You know the drill. I'm not going to run you through the subscriptions. We'll talk to you in a week.
Peace.